Greetings. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. Welcome back, and if this is your first time, welcome aboard. If you are stuck in behaviors that leave you feeling unhappy about yourself, or you haven't been satisfied in making the changes you want, well, this show is for you. You could be frustrated about a small habit that just bothers you, or maybe you're caught in a more serious addiction that affects you and the people around you. If you're ready to create a future for yourself that's different, this show is for you. And maybe you've tried other methods. Maybe you're using an app on your phone to remind you not to smoke, or you might be using an old school method like journaling your feelings on paper when you feel the pull to control some outcome. You might have items on a calendar or a list, or you may keep an inspiring book close by. These are all great skills to have in your toolbox, and you may want some additional ones too. What the Habits into Health perspective brings you are holistic approaches to waking yourself up, and we especially focus on letting your body guide this process rather than pressuring from the brain. I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. In today's show, we're going to discuss how riding the ebbs and flows is an important skill to develop as you move yourself toward a future that is free from your problem habit. Before we go there, the first thing we do is to prepare the way by actually attuning to our sensory selves. In other words, you get to practice letting your body lead through an experiential exercise for just a minute or two. And again, if you're listening for the first time, just follow along in a way that works for you. That's also true if you're engaged in another activity right now that needs your attention, like driving a vehicle or riding a bicycle, working at your desk, or cooking dinner for yourself and the kids. Here we go. Riding the ebbs and flows is an invitation to be in the pulsation of your own experience. This is not a meditation where you stop doing what you're doing and intentionally quiet yourself and create distance from the noisy world, although that can be a very rich pursuit. Instead, continue doing what you're doing as you listen to my voice. And while you're doing this, just notice what is ebbing and flowing in you. What is pulsing? The regular thump of your heart, for instance. Or the intermittent blinking of your eyes. Any gurgling in your belly. Or maybe your feet landing beneath you, step by step. These are just examples and certainly not the only ones. If you have a hard time finding something, notice the pulse of your breath, but do what you can to go beyond this most obvious of pulsations. If you can, for instance, hold one of your thumbs in the opposite hand and just wait until you notice the pulse of your blood from the heart. Or you could take two fingers and hold them up to the same side of your Adam's apple at your throat and wait for the pulse to speak. Or perhaps you're looking at something, a view or a monitor. Notice the ebbing and flowing of your vision from more focused to less focused. Maybe you can notice the sense of speed. You may recognize in yourself different levels of speed. Is there an urgent pulse, a pull to get up and go? Is there a slow sense of rhythm that could seduce you into sleep? Is there an itch that demands a response, to scratch, to rub? What is the wave of that motion? Do you find yourself searching for answers to these questions? If so, you could consider being attentive to what's happening with your eyes. What kind of pulsatory movement is happening there? The first step in any practice involves the level of attentiveness. And in this kind of experiential practice, it's noticing what is, starting with what is concretely present. There's no need to interpret, to get to some goal. There's no goal other than being present in this kinesthetic or physical sense of yourself. This is itself an antidote to your problem habit, because the expression of habits or addictions, which are more entrenched habits, put you to sleep so that you're running away, avoiding, or blocking out your human capacity for sensory experience. And it turns out that in any moment that you do this, practice presence by being attentive to your physical experience in the moment, you are growing your capacity to adapt your behaviors, to master, even in small ways, those habits that pull you away from yourself. And this takes us right to today's topic, the number 9 tip for supporting the changes of behavior you seek, which I call Ride the Waves. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits into Health. And as far back as 1977, I realized that I'd painted myself into a professional corner that promised worldly rewards, but not the kind of satisfaction I was beginning to seek for my life. I was a mainstream journalist, and my desire to leave a job was the beginning of leaving a profession. I began a personal journey that year, letting go of changing the larger world of politics and public policy, and developing a direction for changing the more personal world, one person at a time, starting with myself. Over the next 7 years, I merged my growing interest in holistic health and the field of addiction treatment and recovery, and in 1984, I began supporting people just like you who are dealing with habits both big and small. And today, as a holistic therapist and addiction specialist, I bring a message of possibility for you and everyone who feels stuck in habits and behaviors that you struggle to change. Through the Habits into Health programs, which include this podcast, I bring 21st century approaches to habit change, addiction recovery, and personal growth in general. And these holistic perspectives support you in your path to transformation and freedom. Let's talk about what I mean about riding the wave. You know as well as I do that habits that create problems for ourselves and others, whether you want to call them addictions or not, are basically numbing agents. They shut you down and put you to sleep. And you know, anyone who has ever dealt with big challenges in life wants to take a break from time to time, go on a vacation, or walk away from those challenges. It just takes a lot of courage to turn back around and face the very thing you want to run away from. To look it in the eye and say, I am not going to disappear anymore. I'm going to become the master of my own life and not let this problem be the master of me. That's the decision point. The steps you take after that invite you to trust something in yourself that you may not even know exists. You only hope it does. When each of us starts, just like I started in my mid-20s, it's not with a specific knowing of how we'll get where we want to go. It's more that the urgency to wake up is so compelling, there comes a leap of faith that you're going to move away from sleep and toward awakening, toward a future that's different from your past. And it doesn't matter that you don't know how to get there. You might want it to get easier from this decision point. I've certainly known people who were among the lucky ones where it did get easier from the decision point. For most people, though, the road is more like one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, and one step back. It's like a wave on a beach. Take yourself there for a moment, to your favorite beach. Feel your feet compressing the sand as it rises up over your toes. And then that sudden wash of wave as the ocean reaches past you. And then feel the water recede, pulling the sand away as another wave approaches. One wave in on the top, the last wave out underneath, the next wave in, and so it goes. Even if your beach is part of an inland lake or along a river or creek bed, you can experience something similar when waves come to shore and recede. The tides of change, whether it's waves on a beach or waves inside your own pulsatory rhythm, do not happen in linear order. Even for people who are among the lucky, and it's relatively easy after the decision point. To expect a linear, step-by-step, always going forward, is to set yourself up for a sense of failure. To expect a straightforward course is to deny the rhythms of nature. And you are designed from the ground up as a creature of nature. Your own life force is pulsatory. I learned this from Stanley Kelleman. He's a pioneer in body-oriented perspectives to human functioning. And he says pulsation begins before the breath, starting with that great pulse we call the Big Bang, which kick-started what we now call life. From that great life force to the smaller but equally compelling pulses that reside in you and are then transmitted from you to others. Pulsation in you, say, for example, shows up as waves of motion in your digestive system. From the moment you chew on a delicious meal and your esophagus pulses the food down to your stomach, to the wave action in your intestines as you digest the meal, to your experience of discharging the refuse and byproducts that your body can't use. There is no straight line about it. There's a series of waves. So in this process of changing a behavior, it's wise to expect a pulsatory rhythm. You'll have days where you're feeling the power of mastery, and there will be days when you experience dissatisfaction or even defeat. Don't let it defeat you. The important thing is to learn to ride the wave so that you neither overextend in your drive to succeed, which often results in succeeding at all costs with consequences, or on the other side, to underextend so that you shut down, but to ride the wave of your own pulsation, whatever that rhythm is. And it'll be yours, not anyone else's. This creates room for imperfection and therefore forgiveness and kindness for those times that you falter. And you will falter until you've built enough stability in your changed state that you become less and less at risk for relapse. Don Miguel Ruiz, the teacher of the Toltec Shamanic Path and author of the Four Agreements and other books, addresses this in the Fourth Agreement, which is a statement of acceptance of your own capacity, which ebbs and flows. Don Miguel says, always do your best. That's the Fourth Agreement. And he says, quote, your best is going to change from moment to moment. It'll be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Here at Habits into Health, doing your best is accessed through your physical senses, starting with discovering your own pulsatory rhythm, by listening to your own timing and needs, accessing your deeper wisdom to shape your changes. In doing this, instead of following some cookie-cutter model for habit change, you get to experience the deep satisfaction from taking what you need and setting the rest aside, and letting your life force guide you to a self-nurturing, satisfied life. Well, it's time to sign off for now. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I invite you to stay tuned to Habits into Health every week for reinforcement. If you're feeling stuck and frustrated about a behavior that you haven't been able to change, click on the link at habitsintohealth.com to get a free self-assessment questionnaire. It will get you started and I'll send you my newsletter to support you in continuing the journey. And if you want more support in creating your own personal path to freedom from your problem habit, you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com/get-support. Remember, in Habits Into Health, we start small and we practice kindness along the way. I support you in turning those old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.